Good morning. Let's pray real quick. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help me to teach well and you'd help all of us to be open and attentive to your words, that you would change us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of power in this battery, isn't there? Right? Yeah, I mean, I know when I took the cover off, some of you were like, I'm trying to know what he's going to do, right? Like, but anybody want to come up here and put their tongue in here and I'll snap it together real quick? Most of you are not stupid enough to do that. Because we know this would hurt. Anyone in here got electrocuted before? Just show hands. All right, y'all got electrocuted. Right, you know what it feels like, right? That is not a good feeling right there. So one time we were doing electrical work in my house in the basement. And in the basement, we have these boards, you know, that in the ceiling that run this way. And we also have electrical cables that run this way. We had to run something this way. So we had to drill through the boards. And of course, you have to check to make sure you're not going to hit a cable as you go through. Well, everybody else was upstairs. I was drilling through. I got impatient. So do you think I checked? No. I just started drilling. No problem. Went to the next one. When my drill hit that electrical cable, it sounded like an explosion went off. Just boom, all the lights in the basement, boom, down, black, pitch black. It sounded like explosion. People run downstairs like, Jeff, are you okay? They probably thought I died. I learned two things from driving my electric screwdriver into electrical cable. One is always check for power lines before drilling. But the second thing is this, and you can write it down. I should take sources of power seriously. All right, that wasn't the only time I've gotten electrocuted. I've happened to get electrocuted a number of times. Some people would say I have an issue. We should take power sources seriously. If you do not take a big source of power seriously, you know, you're going to do something. You know, Kyle over at Binkston Otter brought this battery over. I told him I wanted one for a sermon. He goes, well, I'm bringing a big one then, so it sparks real good, right? But I have to take this seriously. I can't just, like, clip it to anything I want to. I can't just act like an idiot. We can't just... But we're not really talking about batteries, are we? We're talking about God. God is the ultimate source of all power. And we have to take God seriously, because if we don't understand the power of God, then we're going to end up with a real big problem. So here's what I'd love for you to do today. Grab your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to learn a little bit about the power that Jesus has. And we're going to find out that it's not just some theoretical thing. Jesus wasn't just a good teacher, a nice guy. He was much more than that. Okay, Matthew chapter 21. If you're using the Bible in here, so we're going to go to page 802. The chapter number is actually on the page before, chapter 21. But you'll just flip it over. And you'll come all the way down. You see the little numbers all the way to you get to that, the little tiny 18 up there. That's the verse number. Right, chapter 21, verse 18. Matthew, who wrote this, was a follower of Jesus. He basically wrote a biography of Jesus here. And this is kind of towards the end of Jesus' life before he dies and rises from the dead. All right, early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. Okay, picture this. Jesus has had kind of a long week. If you read the last couple of chapters, you'll find out that Jesus was doing miracles. He'd healed blind people. His disciples, his followers, were fighting over who was the best. Some of them were like, I want to be the leader. No, I'm going to be the leader. And one of their moms actually came to Jesus and was like, won't you put my sons in charge? And Jesus is just like, he's done with them. He's like, this is enough, right? And he comes to town, to Jerusalem. He walks all the way there. People start shouting and praising his name. They put palm leaves down, they're shouting Hosanna, but those same people who are praising him are going to turn on him in a few days and kill him. Jesus knows this. It's emotionally exhausting. He's tired. He's staying outside of Jerusalem at night, and he has to walk miles into Jerusalem. He's tired and he's hungry. He sees this tree. He walks up to it to grab a fig, and there's none there, and he just says, you know what? You're done. Right? Fig trees there were big. They weren't these little tiny scrawny things. They were big. And as soon as he says, you're done, it says immediately the tree withered, right? He says, may you never bear fruit again. The leaves start to fall off. The branches start to break. The tree bends over. We got to get in our brains who Jesus is. Let's write this down. Jesus is the ultimate source of power. Last week, we learned about God's nearness, how close God is to us as we're studying his characteristics. And we found out that God is right here, right present with us all the time. And then we learned how to understand and feel his presence. And what we're doing today is recognizing that, yeah, not only is God close to us, but God is powerful. And we already said, if we're going to be close to a giant power source, we better understand it and understand what it means to be close to that. Listen, Jesus was not some good teacher. Jesus was the creator of the universe. Scripture says that all things come from him and exist for him. So all power comes from Jesus, right? The power for this car battery comes from Jesus. The power that holds you together comes from Jesus. The power for our sun came from Jesus. Every molecule being held together, that power comes from Jesus. And when we pray, actually, I remember about 5 years ago, we at that point, the church was a lot smaller. Right now, we're praying that God will give us $7,000 a week in offering, because that's what we need. Back then, we got $2,000. That was great. Okay, we had a week with $2,000. I was like, yes, this is great. But I knew that as soon as we got a week where we had plenty of offering, usually the next week we get like almost nothing. And so I decided to pray, God, like we got $2,000 this week, and I pray that you'll give us $2,000 again the next week, that it wouldn't go down. So I prayed with confidence. So we come through the week, we take offering Sunday morning, I come in the next morning, and Monica, who worked at the church, she was counting the offering, and she counted up, and it was like 1,600 or 700, something like that, and I couldn't believe it didn't hit 2,000. So I go home, I go to bed that night, I'm like praying, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Like, you're powerful enough to do this, why didn't you? And then as soon as I woke up in the morning, I realized, that was like the first thought in my brain, I went, I didn't give the money I was supposed to get. I had gotten some money from a different situation, and I hadn't given to God from that. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I went and I counted the money I was supposed to give. I brought it to the office. I added it to the offering, and she recounted all the money. And we were asking God to give us $2,000. She counted up. You know how much it was? $1,992.95. $7.05 short. I was like, what is going on? Like, what? Why would God like bring us that close and not answer our prayer? I didn't get it. So I sat down to pray and I was like, God, am I doing something wrong? Do I not understand something? And then the front door of our church opened. And before I tell you what happened, do you know what I find interesting? We are the same as the followers of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Because when God does something amazing, we are shocked. When God answers a prayer, we are surprised half the time. Give me a nod if you know what I'm talking about, right? You're like, God answers our prayer, we get the job, a bill gets paid, whatever it is, and we're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. God actually came through as though it's surprising to us. Look at how the disciples responded to Jesus withering the fig tree. Start at verse 18, we're gonna read a little further. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. Let's write this down. The disciples were amazed at the power Jesus had. Now keep in mind, the disciples had already seen Jesus heal blind people. They'd seen him raise people from the dead. Now Jesus comes to a fig tree and kills the fig tree, and they're like, oh my goodness, you can kill trees? Like, they're just like in awe. They couldn't believe what just happened. And what is their question? The question is, how? How did this happen? Does anyone in here wonder how I do this? No, you guys know how electricity works. Now, if a little kid came in here and I said, hey, you want to see a trick? And, you know, we did that. The little kid might go, oh, wow, how did you do that? Because a little kid doesn't understand how this power comes. And sometimes you and I don't understand the source of power that comes from God. We don't understand how powerful he is. And we don't understand what God wants to do with it. I want you to listen to this verse. This is Jeremiah chapter 32. Ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. I'm going to read that again. Would you, even if you're watching online, just shout out the bold text, okay? Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Come on, an outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Let's write it down. Nothing is too hard for God. He has unlimited power. Jesus, the Son of God, has unlimited power. Should the disciples really have been surprised when Jesus could wither that fig tree? Jesus was the creator of the universe. Like, I actually like to think, I'm just kind of making this up, just go with me for a second, that Jesus, you know, he walks up there, he withers the fig tree, the disciples say, how did you do this? And I can just imagine what's going through the back of Jesus' mind, right? He's like, fig, you're impressed by a fig tree? Boy, you should have seen it when I created the Milky Way galaxy with a whisper. That really would have blown your mind. But these guys are impressed by a fig tree withering. Jesus is, the word is omnipotent. Let's write this down. The term we use, God, is omnipotent, all-powerful. Omni, meaning all. Potent, meaning powerful, able to do something. God is all-potent, all-powerful. One of the Lord's names in Scripture is the Lord of hosts. And what this means is talking about how powerful he is. It means that millions upon millions of followers attend to God. They're right there with him. Remember this song? Back 2,000 years ago in the Orient, if a king was really powerful, he would bring an entourage with him, right? If he was powerful, he might bring 100 people. If he was a big deal, he might bring 1,000 people. I want you to listen to Daniel chapter 7. River of fire was flowing, coming out from before God. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. What's 10,000 times 10,000? That's 100 million. You want to talk about an entourage? The point in writing this was, you think you're powerful? God has 100 million people in his entourage. What do you got? What have you got? I got 6 kids. Right? Like, our entourage is nothing compared to, and this is just to demonstrate the power of God. He's the only one that can really shout, we will rock you, because everyone else pales in comparison. Give me a nod if you follow what I'm talking about, right? Everyone else pales in comparison. Revelation chapter 19, 6 says this, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. We were singing about Almighty this morning. Almighty comes from a Greek word. This is written in Greek, and it means absolute master. God is the absolute master. It means he has dominion, right? He's all the way in charge. It means he has all power. This is basically the Greek word for omnipotent, all powerful. God has all power. And you know, even when God just gives like a little tiny drop of power to a human being, do you know what happens? You get a guy like Samson. Y'all, you know who Samson is? Right. Here's one little story about Samson. There's tons of them. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. Right, just one little drop of power from God, and you can tear lions apart with your bare hands. I'm not suggesting you do that. But what happens here, you get a guy like Samson, who, by the way, his life was screwed up in a lot of ways. But when God's power comes in your life, there's nothing that God can't do. Nothing that God can't do. Can you just tell yourself that? When God gets a hold of my life, there's nothing that he can't do. Revelation 1 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, okay, beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Okay, here again, he's the Almighty. He is. There's no one mightier than him. He was. There's no one mightier than him. It never has been. And he is to come, right? God's always going to be the Almighty. There is no one stronger than God, and there's no one stronger than Jesus, and there never will be. He always will and always has been the one that has all power. Now I ask again, should have the disciples been surprised when Jesus withered the fig tree? Look, they were good Jewish men. They knew God was powerful, just like you and I know he's powerful, but listen to this deal. They knew God was powerful, just like you and I know God is powerful, but although they knew God's power theoretically, they didn't live it practically. You and me, we are theoretical Christians, but practical atheists when it comes to God's power a lot of the time. We are theoretical Christians, but practical atheists, because we say God is all powerful and we agree God has all power, but then we go out and we live our lives in such a way that has nothing to do with the power of God working in our lives. We don't trust him like we should. We don't rely on him. We don't expect him to answer our prayers. And we wonder why we get stuck in the things we get stuck in with the power of God not working in our lives. Let's write this down. When we say, I believe in God's power, but we don't live that way, we are theoretical Christians, but practical atheists. Friends, if we believe in God's power, let's throw our lives to trust God. Throw our lives into his arm, into the trust of God, knowing that he is able to do whatever he decides to do. Since Levi and Cassie, our missionaries from Honduras, are back for a little while, I'll tell an old story. Some of you might know this already, but Levi used to sing on our worship team, and one day he came to worship practice on a Thursday night, and he got here, and he says, like, Jeff, I can't sing tonight. I was like, what? He's like, something's wrong with my throat. He was really sick. He could barely talk, and I didn't know what we were going to do, because we needed him to sing that weekend, and so we got in a prayer circle. We were having a prayer meeting. I was sitting beside Levi, and we were all just praying about different things, and while we were praying, I felt like God said to me, put your hand on Levi's throat and pray for him to be healed. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't usually go around putting my hands on people's throats, right? That's a little weird. So I just kind of like, I put my hand on Levi's arm, and it kind of like inched it up a little bit. And Levi's looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm just, he said later, he's like, I thought maybe like, where you can ask for my number or something? What are you doing? Like, I don't know. And so I inched my hand all the way up. I put it on his throat. I just prayed, God, would you just heal Levi? I said, amen. I was like, so how's your throat feel? He's like, it's pretty much the same. I was like, okay, God didn't answer the prayer. But then Levi stood up and he walked over to the stage. He walked up a couple steps. And as soon as he put his foot on the stage, whoa, my voice is back. It doesn't even hurt anymore. Like immediately when he got on the stage, his voice was back. It didn't hurt. The next morning he looked in the mirror, all the little white dots that were in his throat were gone. Totally healed it. Was that too much detail? All right. Like, right? Just God totally healed him in just a moment like that. I was surprised. Should I have been surprised? God says, Jeff, pray for him to be healed. I pray for him to heal. God heals him. And I'm like, what the heck? How did that happen? Like, why am I surprised when God answers prayer? Do we trust God? Oh, hopefully we trust God. He's all powerful. But so often we don't actually think God's going to do what we ask him to do. Jeremiah chapter 27 says this. God's talking. He says, with my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are in it, and I give it to anyone I please. Amen. God has authority and power. God gives authority and power to whoever he wants to. Whenever he wants to. It's his choice. So look back at your story that we're reading here, the story about Jesus cursing the fig tree. Look at verse 21. Okay, disciples wanted to know how this happened. And then Jesus says, truly, I tell you. And instead of being sarcastic and like being like, man, I made the Milky Way. You don't know nothing. He gives them a teaching moment. He says, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Do you believe Jesus? So many of our lives, we're like, okay, I believe that God has all power. And God, I'm coming to you right now, and I'm asking you to do something big in my life because I want you to do something about this, God. So I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, please do something. And we've missed the power because we're unwilling to either maybe be obedient, or maybe we're unwilling to actually trust God. To do what he says. I actually believe there's some of you in here today, you know a spot that God has asked you to trust him in, and you haven't trusted him in it, and you're suffering in that area, and you're wondering, why hasn't God shown up? Well, God's got all the power in the world, and he's willing to answer our prayers, is what he says, but we have to trust him for him to do that, right? I mean, God wanted to. He could override our wills. He could do anything. But God's waiting for us to say, okay, God, I trust you. I want you to work in this area. When Jesus said the mountains could be moved to his disciples, they're right near the Mount of Olives. And I imagine the disciples looked over at it like it was like a mountain or maybe just big foothills. It's pretty big. And they looked over and they're like, we could throw that in the ocean? And their minds just started turning. Right? Is Jesus talking literally or is he talking figuratively? He's making a point, but either way, he's just making a point, or literally, like, he will answer my prayers. The all-powerful God will answer my prayers. Let's write this down. Jesus says, if, and I want you to put your name there, not my name, if Jeff believes, he will receive whatever he asks for in prayer. All right, God's power is available to us. I think this is the most significant thing we can learn about God's omnipotence, is that God is all-powerful, but God wants to use his power to help us. Think about this. We don't deserve it, right? God is all-powerful, the judge of all things, super powerful, and what do? We sin and reject God in the way we live so often, don't we? If you ever done anything wrong, just go ahead and say guilty. Right? So we've done guilty things. We've done this in the presence of God. God's very near to us. He's very powerful. And we still have done what's wrong. And God sees this. And instead of using all of his power to squash us like we probably deserve, he actually sends his son Jesus to come to earth to teach us, to show us love. And what did we do? What did we do to him when Jesus came? We spit at him. We killed him. And God put him on the cross. God punished Jesus for the things that you had done wrong. God took his power and his wrath and he put it on Jesus and punished Jesus instead of punishing you, so that you, if by faith you believe Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead, you can ask for forgiveness and God will forgive you. You know what I call that? I call that Jude 2 love, right? If you know Jude 2, say it with me. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance, all right? Remember that. That's mercy in abundance. That's a lot of mercy. God forgives us no matter what we've done if you accept it. God loves us that much. God gives us this much peace when we don't deserve it. That is huge. God loves you that much. But not only does God just forgive you, this is important, okay? Not only did God just go, okay, well, I know you did this stuff wrong. I love you, so I'm going to forgive you, but then you're on your own. That's not what he says. He forgives us, and then Jesus even says, if you ask for something in prayer, God will give it to you. This is because Scripture says that when you receive the forgiveness of God, you are adopted into God's family. You become a child of God. Did you know that? Let's write this down. Not only is God omnipotent, but we are his children, and he cares to help us. One of the reasons I love this movie, Air Force One. Anyone ever seen that, Air Force One, with Harrison Ford? Remember that? Okay, it's an older movie, but this is Harrison Ford. He's the president of the United States, and he's in his office, basically Oval Office, Air Force One version. Right? He's in his president's office, and there's a 12-year-old girl in there. It's his daughter, and she's arguing with him. And she says, like, I want to date some boy or whatever. I don't remember. She wanted to date a kid or something. He said no. And she's like, in caveman days, I'd be married by now. And he just looks at her and goes, it's called progress. Right? Yeah. And that's good. That's good. But why was a 12-year-old girl allowed to argue with and disrespect the president of the United States? Because she was his daughter. You are a child of God. Now, I'm not suggesting we disrespect God, but what I want you to understand is that when you are someone's child, you have a different type of relationship than when you're not their child, don't you? And you are a child of God. You can come to God and ask for things, and God wants to answer your prayers. That's exactly what Jesus told us. Anything you ask for, he wants to do for you. And God has the power to do it. Pastor Dave's sister, Vera, she used to work over at Crossroads Church when I worked over at Crossroads Church, and she led a program called Life Skills. It was an awesome program, helped people get over some of their trauma and the difficult things they'd experienced in life, and it was a great thing, great ministry. So she believed this lady who was taking the class was supposed to be one of the facilitators. During the class, she said to the lady, I think God wants you to be a facilitator of this class. The lady's like, no. Nope, I'm not doing that. And Vera's like, no, I think God wants you to do it. And the lady said, if God wants me to do it, he's going to have to show me like big time. And so Vera, just full of faith, says, okay, let's pray. She goes, God, if you want her to facilitate this class, I pray in Jesus' name that you would, and her brain just kind of thinks for a second, that you would flicker the lights in this room. And immediately when she prayed that, the lights go, and everybody looks up. The lady goes, that was a coincidence. And they're like, and Vera doesn't miss a beat. She's like, let's see if it was a coincidence. She starts praying again. God, if you want her to be facilitated, if that was not a coincidence, I pray you just shut the lights off completely. And as soon as she prays this, there was a boom. The lights go out. The room is pitch black. They had to call an electrician. Not only did it trip the blade breaker, it blew it and had to be replaced. Tell me that's not an answer to prayer, right? Right? God is powerful and he can answer our prayers. But here's what's interesting. He is interested in what you and I are doing. And he cares about what we pray for. Let's write this down. God wants to accomplish something great in me. And he has the power to do it. Could you just maybe tell yourself that? God has the power to do something great in you. And God wants to do something great in your life. Someone watching online texted in and said, that's a pretty expensive answer to prayer. Right. Hey, you got to be careful what you pray for, right? Just kind of like people say, don't ever pray for patience, right? Because God will, he'll give you situations where you need to learn of it. Someone says, I like to think of this as the awe factor. I can't think of anyone who shouldn't be amazed or surprised at what God does. Yeah, it's one thing to be amazed at what God does, right? I asked for this, God fulfilled it. I'm just amazed. God, you're amazing. It's another thing to be surprised because you didn't actually believe God would do it. That's different, right? Like, God, I'm just surprised that you would even answer my prayer. Like, that's, Jesus says to us, God will answer whatever you ask for in prayer if you believe and you do not doubt. Now, there are some other reasons that God might not answer prayer. I did a sermon once called 7 Reasons God Won't Answer Your Prayer. One of the reasons is that we stop praying. Another reason is that we don't pray with intensity. We don't really mean it. There's 7 reasons. You should go listen to that sermon. But really, if we believe, if we have faith, if we're in line with God's will and we ask God to do something, we can have full confidence that God will do this with his power. But some of you are probably thinking, okay, that's great, but you don't know me, Jeff. Like, I'm a failure. I've screwed my life up. I've screwed other people's lives up. I don't even think God wants to listen to me. Yeah, maybe you are in a really hard place. Maybe you have screwed things up, and maybe you're like holding on to a sin that you don't want to let go of, and because you're holding on to that sin, God's not answering your prayer for you right now. But I want you to hear something else about God's power. This is 2 Peter. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. God has power, and he uses that power to give you everything to help you become the type of person God wants you to become. God is not leaving you alone to try to work your life out. Hopefully you'll fix it. No, God uses his power to let you live a godly life. Now, there's an important caveat here. Through what? Through our knowledge of him. Guys and girls, we gotta be reading our Bibles. Right? This is why we talk about reading scripture all the time. If we're not studying scripture, if we're not getting to know God, then we're not gonna become the type of people God wants us to become. Let's write this down. God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. And I want you to circle through our knowledge of him. The omnipotent God of the universe makes his power available to us through prayer. If we're living godly lives, having faith without doubts, but to become that type of person, we need to know him better. And some of you right now are in a place where you're like, okay, I'm kind of putting the pieces together, right? Like, I know God's powerful. I know he wants to answer my prayer, but I also know my life's kind of screwed up. And now I'm realizing I need God's power to work on me before he starts answering these other prayers, right? Maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe your moving the mountain is getting your life together. I don't know what it is for some of you. Maybe the moving the mountain is just getting a bill paid. Maybe it's praying for that relative of yours who doesn't know Jesus and refuses to come to church. What is the mountain in your life that God needs to move? Because God has power to move it. And Jesus says, if you pray and you believe and you do not doubt, mountains will move. You know, I'd prayed for $2,000 in the church offering. We had gotten $1,992.95. I actually, at that point, I came into the sanctuary. I was like lifting up offering buckets. I'm like, maybe a $10 bill got stuck in one of these or something, thinking that, you know, there must have been a mistake. I go back to my office. I start praying, God, you know, am I in sin? Like, why aren't you listening to me? Did I not understand something? Then the front door of our church opens. Big guy walks in. He walks up to me, he puts his finger in my face, he goes, you the guy on the radio? I don't know. maybe. I said, yeah, I'm the guy on the radio. So he sits down at my desk and he says, I want to give you something. He pulls out a checkbook and he writes out a check for $2,500. Not only did God answer our prayer for $2,000, he gave us more. A lot more. Right? Like, he gave us, more than double what we were asking for. Like, we received that $2,000, not because we were amazing people, but because God is powerful and God is faithful and answers the prayer of his people who believe. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Jesus says, God is powerful. He proved it. Wither the fig tree. The disciples say, how? And Jesus goes, oh, there's more than that, boys. If you believe, you can put mountains in the sea, friends. Here's a practical application. Let's do this and get out of here. Number one, I must know God, right? I got to believe in him as the all-powerful. You actually have to know God to experience his power in your life. Number two, I need to trust him practically and in reality, not just theoretically. Like, this is another big one for us. If I want God to bless my relationship, but I'm like living with a girl I'm not married to, having sex outside of marriage, but I'm asking God to bless my marriage, he will, or bless my relationship. God wants to answer your prayer and bless your relationship, but first, you got to trust him and get out of that situation that's not right. You know what I'm saying? Right? We have to exit the things that God doesn't want us in. We have to trust that he's going to take care of us, you know, whatever situation it is for you. Number three, I should pray for my needs and not give up because nothing is impossible with God. Pray and do not give up. Too often we give up before God answers. There's a whole story called the persistent widow in the Bible. Jesus told about not giving up in prayer. And then number four, I am gifted because I have everything I need for a godly life as I know God, or maybe we should say as I get to know God, right? God has power, and he uses it to make you a godly person. Don't ever let anyone tell you you cannot become what God wants you to become. Don't ever let anyone tell you that God won't answer your prayers, because God has the power to make you a godly person, and God has the power to answer your prayers. So let's have faith and trust that he'll do both of those. Let's pray. God, thank you for using your power to answer our prayers. I pray that you would line up our will with yours. Make us godly people and give us faith that we don't doubt. We want to see you at work here, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, have a great week. Go with God's power.